This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Steve Cousins. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roger. Happy to be here.
Oh, so, hey, Steve. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. As people hear from your title, cloud, we're going to talk about the cloud. What is it? Where the federal market is going with regard to it? What's the drivers? Just a wide-ranging conversation on, you know, how these services, IT services and data processing are and information processing are delivered through the cloud and what it means for the federal market and for contractors generally. So first, I have to ask, it's the basic question. Steve, you probably get asked it all the time. What is the cloud?
It's an often asked question. It's a good a new paradigm that people are trying to get their head around. And I think it's really essentially a new delivery mechanism, a new model for saving costs, reducing operations expenses, and making it more efficient to deliver IT services.
So, yeah, okay, so that's all what it's going to result in. So, you know, as someone who's like gone to the cloud in my office, in my, you know, day job, it has saved us a lot of money. Yeah, you know, I can see that on the bottom operational line. So, how does it do that? I mean, well, what is it a shared services model? So you're leveraging what does it? How does that sort of work, I guess, is right. From a layman's perspective.
Right. No,
I see the result and it's been great, but.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question because there's really there's been a struggle to really clearly define and delineate where it begins, where it ends, and the different models you can use. So the core premise really is to offer a model that allows infrastructure services, whether they be software or storage or compute power, at a very low cost delivery way. So by cloud service providers pooling those resources and having just large, massive infrastructures, and now the advancements of network technologies allowing each company not to have it in their own location, but actually remotely access these large infrastructures, they're able to get to an efficiency level where they're delivering it to you very cheaply, very efficiently. Uptime is very high. Security is very advanced. And so basically they define these in terms of infrastructure as a service or platform as a service or software as a service, depending on what you need and where it can apply.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's almost, you know, I guess to put it in my layman's terms, instead of having to buy all the stuff to process our information, we're sort of renting it out in certain sense. It's like a timeshare almost, right?
That's exactly right. And that's core. That's a core component of the definition and the bottom line definition of cloud. Really, it is this type of as a service. It's a utility kind of model. You pay for what you use. And so if your servers on site are only working 10% of the time, you're kind of wasting those servers. So really, why not just go ahead and rent or lease or purchase only the time that you need. And so in that respect, it's very empowering and it's lower cost ability to save money for organizations.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit too about, and we got right into that conversation about what the cloud is, but I also wanted to take a moment. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? I mean, we're sort of doing that backwards, but that's my fault as the host. I got right into the subject. I was so excited to talk cloud. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
No problem. Yeah, and actually, I can back into it that way from it because it's an evolution into cloud. But if you back up from the cloud backwards a bit, my schooling is basically in engineering. And when I first came out of school, I joined EDS, which is a traditional outsourcing company hosting these mega data centers and services that way, doing a lot of on-site delivery. So I stayed with there 10 years, and then I've gone from there to do other work with companies like Booz Allen, General Electric, and KPMG, all within the IT area to try to figure out, leverage the technology advancements to help the business save money or enable strategy better for the business. So that's my background. And when I joined Unisys, I've been with Unisys about 10 years now, and I joined within the federal
Federal sector.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was at the time, 10 years ago, when Department of Homeland Security and TSA were branching out and starting up and creating infrastructures. And it was a kind of a neat time at that point, because there's a lot of energy around forming those agencies and a lot of technologies that were ready to be used at that time. And so within Unisys right away, we started building mission critical systems to help, you know, harden those infrastructures and bring those up. So we immediately got into email and collaboration tools and infrastructure utilities, storage, server, and building out those infrastructures and learning and applying those new technologies. So for the last 10 years, we've been evolving as technologies evolved with newer and better. So you've heard the terms go toward utility computing,
mm-hmm.
and now yes. the evolution toward cloud computing a few years ago. And that's basically where we are now.
That's kind of interesting. So it sounds to me like that, you know, that time back about 10 years ago with the formation of DHS and sort of the a significant reorganization of government, you know, Unisys saw that as there's an opportunity here to try to, you know, respond to customer demand in a sense of how we're going to manage all that information, you know, the new security requirements and email, you know, just so, and you've just sort of built on that,
mm-hmm.
right, over time. So tell us a little bit, I mean, that's a little bit about yourself, but can you tell us about the Unisys North America Google Center of Excellence?
Right.
What is that?
Yeah, and that was really born recently out of the idea that, and here's about the federal government. The federal government has been a leader in the cloud space. Now, normally, commercial companies start trends.
Yes.
But yep. I think the nice thing about the federal government is the edict that they kind of collaborated on a few years ago with the CIO and the leadership of the federal government to say we need to save budget cost, and we need to get more innovative, and really we need to be more collaborative. And so with the invention and creation of the Department of Homeland Security and TSA and all these agencies that then faced themselves having to work even more collaboratively with each other, that kind of brought on that sense of urgency to do that. So what we did in Unisys is respond to their dictate of saying, let's move things to the cloud. And so there was a challenge to move at least 3 services to the cloud within the next year. So it was really a drive. And so a lot of the agencies looked internally and said, what do we have that might make most sense? I go home, I log into email, but that email server and systems, they're not in my basement, they're remotely. So I think they could get a handle around, why are we hosting cloud,
right.
you know, email on-premise?
Right. That's
so
a great point, because they go home, turn yeah. on my computer, I don't have all that infrastructure in my house.
That's exactly right. And so I think they could look at that and say, logically, why are we hosting all that stuff? It just takes up floor space in our data centers, it's already overcrowded, it's costly. Let's look at that as being one of the first initiatives to move to the cloud. And so from a timing perspective, Unisys had done a lot of large Microsoft implementations, some of the largest right now within the federal government with TSA and HHS. It was sort of a natural transition for us to use that email knowledge and that messaging knowledge then to look at how would we apply that to the cloud. And again, timing-wise, Google and Microsoft were getting their infrastructures FISMA certified,
sure.
and,
mm-hmm.
and ready for that transition. So we were able to take advantage of the fact that the technology was ready, and so we started with GSA to move them to the cloud.
Right. So it really is. It's almost a confluence, right? Of, you know, government, the customer needs, the same time the technology is evolving.
That's right.
Pulling it all together to respond, you know, taking that commercial technology to respond to the customer need. Yeah, timing is everything, right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, you're right, clearly. No one would have thought about doing this 10 years or more ago, but within the last 10 years, as these agencies were starting to go, and especially within the last 5 years, with the advancements in networking and storage and compute power and access and security, now it's starting to look like it's a possibility. And actually, GSA actually took the first jump out and said, let's be the leaders on this. And that was 2010, 2011, when they first started that.
Right. And, you know, I think we're getting right up on the break. our first break, Steve. But when we come back, we'll talk about the federal market, where it's going. We'll talk about that GSA implementation of email that Unisys is setting up. I think your partner is Google there.
We finished that last year. And yeah, that was, we could definitely talk about how, what impact that made.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, but when we come back, we'll talk more to Steve Cousins. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Steve Cousins. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And, you know, Steve, when we took the break, we touched briefly on the GSA implementation of cloud email services. But we also wanted to talk, I think, a little bit about the market in general, the federal market. So, you know, and we've laid a little bit, first segment, we laid a little bit of the foundation with that, talking about, you know, how DHS and the some of the reorganization of government has led the efforts to try to find ways to save money, along with the technology evolving over time to be able to do the cloud, cloud-type services. So, you know, I guess the big sort of big-picture question, how is the federal government doing with regard to cloud computing? Where are we headed, and how has it done so far? So that's two questions, but
yeah, no, I think actually the federal government is doing well. Like I said, taking the leadership position would have been a difficult position to take, especially when these technologies hadn't been leveraged a lot. And so, you know, I give that the federal government a lot of credit for standing out to do that. And GSA was one of the leaders on that. The CIO and deputy CIO were certainly technology evangelists and saw the power of these advancements and said, you know, I think we can save costs by leveraging them. So that was quickly followed up by NOAA, who also, they were the, you know, GSA was the first agency-wide.
Well, why don't we just take migration. That one first and talk, can you talk a little bit about the GSA implementation of email cloud services?
Yeah, sure. And that dovetails the entrance of Google, and they brought their FISMA certified cloud into the mix. And like I said, we partner with Microsoft and we partner with Google. And in this instance, Google had a good strategy, a good vision for where GSA wanted to go. GSA was emphasizing not only the cost savings power of it, but also collaboration. They were very big on collaborating internally and externally. They knew that was another piece of it. And so what we've seen is this evolution of email. You used to be able to say email and Active Directory or email and directory services. Now in the last 5 years, 3 to 5 years, you have to say email and collaboration services. So really it's become less cloud email. It's really cloud collaboration. And oh, by the way, we'll throw you in a 25 gigabyte mailbox. So email turns out that it's only one portion of the overall collaboration suite of cloud that people are moving to. And so GSA saw that possibility, and they've actually led the implementation of other technologies to integrate with Google Apps for Government. And that was the service that we implemented for them, Google Apps for Government, a combination suite of, you know, mailbox, a calendar, web-based documents, so you don't have to use them on your desktop. Google Sites, which is a project and sharing platform that you can share information and build new project sites. And so all that was bundled in a very, very low price and quick implementation. We did that in 6 months to try to get the return on investment back to GSA very quickly. And there, I think that was a good example of the power of cloud computing and what it can do for an agency.
Right. So from your perspective, are there lessons learned or, you know, I would just want to get some ideas of lessons learned or, you know, what are some of the bigger obstacles to cloud implementation for an organization? Your thoughts on those.
Good question, because we often go visit other agencies ever since that GSA implementation to talk about those lessons learned, because there's definite interest and a desire to learn how to start this thing off correctly. And so I'd say half of our discussions with agencies are around education. Here's what we did. Here's the impact it made. I think the CIO there, she's also trying to promote, here is the impact. Here's why we did it. Here's our cost savings at this point. This is real. This is what we're getting done. So, yes, the importance around that implementation and the lessons learned was really about, you know, not going into it lightly. Email can be sometimes considered as something pretty easy, moving email. Hey, it's just email. Well, a project of that magnitude touches every single employee of the agency or company.
So absolutely.
So a key lesson learned there is really you have to address that. You have to implement some type of organizational change management, you know, strategic communications. We worked with the OCIO, the Office of the CIO, in preparing strategic communications to talk to the users. Here's why we're doing this. Here's what this means to you. Here's what this means to us. And then also deployment communications to say, here's how you need to prepare for it. Here are the things you need to know in order to transition. So I think you have to build in those kind of capabilities. I also think you have to build in the capabilities for systems integration. None of these are one kind of, you know, one and done.
Yeah, it's not a cookie cutter approach,
they are
right?
Not cookie cutters approach, exactly right. And often that's confusing. But it's really not. When you've done one email integration and migration, you've done one.
So then you want to get on to two and three, right?
Right. And then you have to apply it. But each one you go in there, you have to be careful what you do. There are a lot of legacy systems that depend on that email. You have to analyze that well and do no harm and make sure you transition the right thing. So, Unisys as a systems integrator is able to look at the legacy systems and where we want to go. And GSA wanted to investigate, you know, mobile integration, wanted to investigate higher levels of security authentication and unified communications. And so we were able to kind of look at that and design a plan for that.
Sure. Just back on the like sort of messaging to the employees, and I think you did touch on it a bit, but it seems to me that, you know, one of the things you're trying to get out there is this is why this is good for the organization as a whole, which translates that it's good for you, or that's part of it, but also how, I worked in the government for 20 years, how is this going to make my job easier?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is that kind of things you were trying to address with folks?
Exactly. And a lot of the key messages was they were coming from the CIO's office. There was a translation of their vision. So we interviewed the key leadership there. What do they want to get across? But also from an end user, what's in it for me? You're right. We kind of helped design those communications. And GSA was undergoing a large initiative to try to do remote workforce. So really the power of this cloud computing, you can be anywhere at any time with any device accessing your email and collaborating with others. So when they saw the possibility of examples of you could be in Starbucks integrating into this and you can be at home, you know, work is what you do. It's not where you go per se, right?
Sure,
these are common
sure.
themes that were being said. And we've collaborated even internally at Unisys with people in the car, in the passenger seats in the car, on their iPads. You know, anything that can actually use a browser to access the infrastructure, you can collaborate with. So I think we tried to emphasize those key messages to the employees, and I think they got it very quickly and said, wow, this will give me more freedom and more capability.
Right. So are there any other, you know, when you think of sort of institutional or cultural type, you know, hurdles that you have to overcome? I mean, you got to get, obviously, you got to get senior management to buy in, then you definitely have to get the employees to buy in to get it work. Is it something you also have to, if there are other support contractors that work for the agency that, I mean, how does that impact it at all?
Right, you do, yes, certainly. And that's a key lesson learned. I think you touched on a very good topic. I think the executive leadership has to really be behind it. You know, they have to evangelize why. And I think that's just a power that's really nice to have. And the contracts we've had subsequent to that, you've always had an evangelist or a vision that helps people understand here's where we want to get to and here's why. So I think that hurdle is critical. You have to have that in place. And like you said, you're integrating into maybe an existing infrastructure that other providers are providing there too. So you have to really look at what you're doing and how to integrate that, whether it be tier one help desk services or additional services for users. We integrate with existing contracts that's currently
sure.
running there
because mm-hmm.
we might necessarily get the help desk, but we'll make sure that the help desk knows who to call if there's an issue that they have to resolve and they can't. Then we'd step in and say, you call us as well. So we also add in additional customer support services.
Sure. So, and so the GSA implementation has been completed?
Right? That's been completed as of 2011, mid-year that way. That was the very first one in the federal government, the summertime of 2011. And quickly followed up by NOAA was the second agency-wide implementation of cloud email. That started off around that time and finished in December of 2011. And throughout this time, especially in 2012, more and more vehicles.
So to your point, you know, the NOAA versus GSA, they're different implementations.
Much different, vastly different.
Yeah, different agencies, infrastructures.
Different browsers, clients that they're using to access the
infrastructure. Yeah, we want to talk about some of that technology hurdles and that sort of thing when we come back. And I also wanted to ask you, things aren't static, right? I assume that once implementation is done, but then it's continues, right?
That's
and
correct.
What does that? So, but right now Steve, we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Steve Cousins. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Steve Cousins. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And Steve, when we took the break, I had started to frame a question about, these are sort of evolution, are these evolutionary? Are they static? Because you mentioned you do one implementation, you've done one implementation, then you get to the next one and you've done GSA, you did NOAA. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do they evolve over time for lack of a better term?
Yeah, no, good point. I think what you do is when you integrate or when you replace or migrate infrastructure like an email system out to the cloud, you're basically opening up a whole nother possible world of integration or other, leverageable opportunities. So because you've done that, along with that, people want to now still, read their email on their mobile devices. And so now, to follow along with that, sometimes it's embedded into that type of initial engagement. Sometimes it's a follow-on activity because the agency is then ready for it. They want to say, okay, what's our mobility strategy? How do we have secure mobile access? And like you said, it kind of evolves into how do we want to frame that? And more importantly, how do we want to integrate that in to keep this cost savings opportunity going and this collaboration field going and this power of technology using? So a lot of times we're asked to consult now we want to integrate these new tablets that are coming out and an iPhone or Android devices on top of the BlackBerry. And we want to still maintain the BlackBerries as well. How do we do that? So as it evolves, you start to then design ways to allow for secure remote mobile access.
Yes, yep.
And then also we've been asked on different engagements to integrate unified communications. So not only mobility, but now I want to actually listen to my email and auto read my voicemail. So you start to get into this, very tightly integrated world, and it should be able to be integrated. These are just different technologies. And so now we start to implement type of VoIP, voice over IP, and integration around that too, so people can enable that. So it's just sort of opening the possibilities. And now when you remove a system, you've now orphaned some applications that potentially now need to be written and moved to the cloud too. So it really just starts to evolve into how I can take full advantage of the power.
It's like a ripple effect across somebody's IT infrastructure.
For a lower cost and just a more power of technology leverage.
Yeah. So, well, sticking to power of technology, are there, are you seeing some, or what are some of the sort of innovative technologies that may be out there that used to have great potential to making the cloud, cloud implementations, making more efficient, more effective, more better value?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And nowadays, new technologies and new technology companies are popping up all the time. And it's somewhat humorous because before, unless a company was long standing for many years, you wouldn't look at it. But some of the most innovative ideas are coming from these brand new companies that are coming up with great ideas. And so we partner with a lot of them, and we look at the things that are being brought up. And so this new wave that's coming out now is around enhancing security of the cloud. That's obviously a concern for government agencies, and it's legitimate. And really, the basic bottom line is being met right now, but more can be done. And the cloud service providers are doing it on their own as well. And then people like us as SIs, we're doing it as well. So we integrate things over and above what's being brought in by these cloud service providers. For example, we'll do secure authentication over and above Google's authentication. So we'll make sure when we implement another tool, we'll verify that the person trying to access the cloud is who they say they are. So we'll get their credentials, but we'll also turn around and we'll check the directory of the agency. And if they're not a member of that directory, we don't let them in. So we add additional technologies based on some of the newer products that we see to just enhance that. So we allow for that. We do some single sign-on, dual factor authentication, and then when they get in, then it just makes their experience better, but you also can track their identity management and make sure that that's who they say they are. Other technologies around encryption, that's a big growing field now about encrypting that data at rest and in motion, and the cloud service providers today provide that, but the enhancement of that encryption technology and the keys, who owns the keys, who owns the data, that's a big wave that's coming as well.
Right. So my layman's term, I think cybersecurity, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and this is an area where, you know, although budgets are going down, where there probably will be, I would guess, likely more funding to address, you know, security concerns. You know, we've seen the headlines lately, right?
That's right. And you're right. I think there's still a big focus because as well as you can leverage the power of this cloud technology, you're right. You have to pay attention and special investment into the security aspect of it. And right now, fortunately, there's a lot of the product companies coming up with new ideas. So in the areas of biometrics and being able to verify the actual person, that we see advancing pretty fast. And like I said, about the encryption pieces, you have appliances now that you can implement on the customer's premise, the cloud premise. That now creates another tunnel and a more protective access. So whether it be a private cloud or a community cloud, the agencies can start to feel comfortable that, okay, they're the only people that can see that their own data.
Yeah. Along those lines, you know, one of the things that I was curious about, because you mentioned it, is, you know, teaming with other, you know, companies and, like, you know, startups or new innovative, pieces of solutions, it sounds like, especially in the security arena, that are out there. So are you seeing, you know, more strategic, I mean, you have a strategic alliance, you said, with Microsoft and Google, Unisys does. Are there more, I mean, does cloud essentially lend itself to strategic solutions? I mean, do you need it? That sort of approach? I can't think of anybody who has everything soups to nuts.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think that these are very, very innovative companies to begin with, and they're leaders in their field and breaking new ground all the time. The neat thing about the newer entrants and the emerging technology companies, a lot of them small businesses, they're leveraging stuff they've learned out of school or in new environments where startups are encouraged and you have playgrounds and think tanks and people leveraging off of some of the innovative technologies. I know, you know, Google is investing in something called Google Glass. It's sort of a PC on looks like eyeglasses.
Yeah. I hear about that on the radio from time to time on the way to work, right?
That's right. And some of those are you know, very out there, right?
Right.
Self-driving
right.
cars. But the neat thing that does is that builds an ecosystem around them that says, hey, let me try to help you. This is a good idea. And then you start to see people collaborating. And so the whole wave of social media and social computing, people jump in. And that's where a lot of these other smaller companies are born. And they have good ideas. So like you said, from a teaming perspective, we like to work with them. We like to listen and watch for these new technology ideas come up, especially as they integrate with the larger product suites from these large companies.
Yeah. And, you know, so security is an issue. And I think we've talked about cost savings. But with the budget, you know, we're in the middle of sequestration. As we all know, there's a big focus on reducing costs, you know, are you seeing, or what does that mean for companies in the cloud? Is, you know, the people go to the cloud because they want to get the efficiencies. Is there more and more demand for further and further cost save? I mean, what's the dynamic right now?
Yeah, I think the dynamic now is that you really better have a project that you better, you know, justify return on investment, because money is tight right now and they want to reduce that money. And so you have to be able to come up with an idea, not just an idea, but really a proven plan. And you have to be able to allow and enable that agency to recoup their costs and then show some savings going forward. And so that's how, you know, the people that want to work at the agencies are starting to design their projects around. I think a large percentage of the IT budgets right now are going toward just maintaining the lights, you know,
right,
and the IT infrastructure, and that's
right.
Really
paying the electricity bills,
exactly right?
Right.
Yeah, and what a shame it is, because there's a lot of customized legacy applications. And it really just sort of handcuffs the agencies as to what to do. So that's also driving another parallel wave of, you know, how do we enable moving the legacy applications and reducing that burden of IT expenses just to manage the environment. So that's another wave that we're trying to help with.
Yeah, right. And right now, Steve, we're right up against our last break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Steve Cousin. Steve is Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about the federal market, what's going on there, and also look at what's going on with regard to what customers are telling you is their number one priority.
Okay.
When you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Steve Cousin. Steve is the Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services for Unisys Corporation. And Steve, when we, you know, took the break, we're talking a little bit about, you know, what's going on with the federal market, and you know, how customers and what customer, the return on investment issue. So I guess I wanted to rephrase it or sum up that conversation, and then move on to some other topics or transition a little. But when you were talking to customers, what are they telling you is their number one priority when they're thinking about cloud?
Right. And now with, like you said, the budget issues and the budget pressures, the priorities that we're hearing, and number one usually being cost reduction with the legacy systems or just the overall budgets that are shrinking, I think that's freezing some of the agencies until they can find a way to reduce those costs. And so that's number one. Number two, right after that very quickly, is security. And how do I do this in a very secure fashion? But the business drivers sort of wrap around cost reductions, enhancement of collaboration, collaborating internally and externally, enabling the users to be more productive and efficient, and giving them more choices and options that way. And really basically retiring, that fourth one is sort of basically retiring the legacy systems.
Right. That's a big issue with the government.
Huge.
Even today, you know, there's still systems at GSA that when I was back in there in the mid-90s are still being used.
Yes.
That's not a criticism of GSA. It's just...
It's common.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't think technology is at the point... And now is it probably getting to the point where that transition from legacy systems will be easier, you know, pursuant to the cloud. But I think a lot of that is just, a lot of it's timing.
Yeah,
right?
And you're right. I think it becomes easier because the new technologies are there and the possibilities are greater. And so because of that, we can think of it. And yet you're right. In some instances, you know, we as Unisys, as a lot of other companies that do this as well, you have to do this application assessment perspective. You have to go in there and figure out some applications are just way too costly to migrate, just leave them be and then let them retire their new way, add in a new way. But there definitely has to be a structured approach as to where do you get your biggest bang for your buck. Some of these things are low-hanging fruits. So let's move them out to the cloud right away. Why are we hosting this stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we try to, you know, complement what we're trying to do to make sure that, and we go in there very collaboratively. We hear the options that are out on the market today to replace that, or just integrate with it, or just leave it alone.
Sure. Sure. So, you know, you talked about return on investment, collaboration, some of these key things that customers are focusing on when they talk to you. So I think it'd be interesting. I think you have some interesting thoughts on this, just in terms of how those are communicated by the customer when they put together, the requirement, and particularly, thoughts about statements of objectives versus, pass-fail statements of work.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that some of the procurement vehicles that we're seeing and some of the procurement contracts are really getting it. I think that by allowing the community at large, right, the industry to respond to, say, more of a statement of objectives, these are our high-level goals. This is the mission we're trying to do. That is very good in the terms of looking at every possibility. Some contracts we come across with these hardcore statement of work, you will do this, this, and this only, and
right,
not that.
Right.
And it's very restrictive, and they basically roll out half the opportunities for innovation.
Well, that's interesting, because also one of the things that strikes me is that those also lend themselves to, you start articulating all these mandatory requirements in the statement of work. That's prescribing a government solution as opposed to leveraging a commercial solution. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right. And you're not really reducing costs. By the more mandatory solutions or requirements, you're going to increase the cost. You're going to limit yourself into one option. And everybody knows when you limit competition, that's not good for anybody. I think the encouragement of a whole bunch of ideas and a whole bunch of competition and contractors competing over that work, you'll be able to see the most innovative solutions at the lowest or best cost. So the best value in these reviews is really important, and just don't go with the lowest cost, but take a look at, see who's really bringing this value. So we try to encourage that statement of objectives versus statement of work, and I think that enables us
right,
to bring
so this is a sort of
best.
Performance-based approach, right?
That's right.
Provide us a solution so we can do the things that we need to do, and not, literally saying, I want a commercial product, but here's 267 mandatory requirements.
That's right. And fixed cost is fine. We don't mind that at all versus variable, and that'll help save and ceiling the expense they're going to do. It just allow for the option of seeing as many innovative solutions as possible, and then make your choice.
Right. And it seems to me another thing that I'm just interested in what your thoughts are, and this is just sort of a big picture question, because I thought about this a bit, and that is, it seems to me your point about statement of objectives and that sort of thing is that provides the opportunity for agencies to maximize, the inherent efficiencies of whatever commercial products that's been developed, rather than crafting a sort of unique solution.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, to me, there's an organizational piece of that as well, in that the government has an opportunity to save even more money outside of like the cloud, but just structurally, if it looks at organizing itself around the way the product works, right? They, mm-hmm. I mean, they drive the requirement, how do we maximize efficiency through these systems?
Right.
I don't know if that's clear, but the 267 requirements I talked about are all because you have organization X doing a certain thing a certain way, rather than looking at how they're doing it and seeing if they can do it more efficiently through a commercial solution or something.
No,
right?
It's very, very true. It's often born out of the idea that this is the way we've done it all along. The legacy systems require that. I can't deviate away from that. So that's another good point. When you start to introduce new technologies and you open up the possibility, then you'll see another wave of organizational efficiency. So there's a lot of process reengineering that goes along with this. And you work and say, here's now that you're enabled to do this, and part of that is the education. Now you don't need to do these steps. How would you like to do it more efficiently? And then they have their own internal groups that says, wow, we can skip those five steps now. Oh, why don't we do this? So you're right. Inherently, you start to make the agency operate more efficiently overall.
Right. And it seems to me smart agencies would be, would be smart, frankly, to say it, to look at, they have an opportunity when they go to the cloud or look at these things, to actually also look at how the organization is,
That's
functions
right.
and the process, internal processes they have, and eliminate inefficiency.
That's right. And that's why the CIO is no longer just an IT person, right? It's really a business person.
Yes.
They're enabling the strategy of the mission. And when you're able to do that, so that they're looking specifically on how they can add value. And you're right, these technologies aren't just for technology's sake. They're actually being implemented for the strategy of the mission.
Right. So, Steve, we're getting sort of close to the end. We've got about 2 minutes left. So I wanted to give you a chance to, talk a little bit. You've been in this market a long time, doing this type of work, working in the federal IT. And, I just I'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on from a technology perspective, at least technology implementation perspective from the federal government. What do you think some of the biggest changes you've seen, or positive type changes you've seen over the last 10 to 15 years?
Well, clearly the infrastructure advancements of technology. I mean, you can't do the cloud. You couldn't do a lot of the stuff without those advancements. And so the product companies around that, and the utility companies and the technology, the telco companies, they're really infusing their products with a lot of these innovations, and that's a good thing. So as that has grown and the possibilities have become more, evident, then the companies have been able to leverage the social media opportunities. So social computing and some of the other things that you would have never thought, because that's in the commercial area.
Right.
That is where, by breaking ground, the federal government saying, you know what, we will try this. Okay. We will go ahead and try this, and we're going to show you. And there's been numerous agencies now that have migrated to the cloud,
mm-hmm.
and they're showing the sky's not going to fall. This is a reality, and we can take advantage of this, and I'll show you cost savings. So that all of a sudden opens the door for things like social computing and things. And there's been companies doing that, agencies doing it all along, but it just hasn't been really pronounced, not agency wide.
Pockets of it here and there.
Pockets of it, and some companies that are more innovative about their own kind of internal collaboration, but between the agencies, and now making it okay for the CIO to say, I'm going to go ahead and do this, and I'm not going to risk my, this is fine. It's been proven to go do that. So I think going forward, we're going to see these new technologies where your device on your laptop really just becomes a single pane of glass. All your computing and storage and all your other needs is going to be hosted out of the web or off of a private cloud internally. Agency.
Sure.
But your own end user devices are going to become very efficient and ubiquitous and just very commodity based at that level.
Right. Okay. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Again, I want to thank my guest, Steve Cousin, Vice President of Cloud Email and Collaboration Services at Unisys Corporation. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.